This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
DUI story is pretty crazy. I hit a person.
Like walking? Or like another car?
I pulled out of a gas station. I was probably doing like 30 or 40. Mm-hmm. And I hit somebody on a bicycle. I bumped them. And I didn't know I hit a person because I was so drunk. So I kept on going. And then I got pulled over. They're like, you hit a person. I'm like, no, I didn't. Blah, blah, blah. They're like, look at your truck. I'm like, oh, I hit a stop sign last week. That's not for me hitting a person. So went to jail. I didn't know if the person was okay. They were like, you need to go to rehab. You need to get this checked out.
And when you wake up in jail, are you like still unsure like what the hell's going on?
I did not know if I killed a person. And that's when like I really, of course, you know, you now have a problem because now you don't even know if you actually really hurt somebody, a family, you know, like I didn't know who it was. It was a woman.
Welcome to the Hell Has an Exit podcast with host Teddy Tarantino. New episodes every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Don't forget to subscribe.
Welcome to Hell Has an Exit. I'm your host, Teddy Tarantino. This podcast is based on mental health and recovery. If you guys are struggling, please reach out. You can always contact us through Instagram. And if you know someone struggling, it's always a good idea to send this to them. You never know like whose story will reach somebody. Please like, subscribe, and comment. If you comment on the YouTube videos, it always helps the algorithm. And today we have an Instagram superstar, Ryan. Your Instagram is Your Anxiety Is Lying to You.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you bigger on TikTok or Instagram?
Instagram.
Instagram?
It's usually reversed, but yep, Instagram is where I just took off at.
I just seen your video today of like your before and after of like using.
Yeah.
Were you making content? Were you like filming yourself using?
Yes. I've always enjoyed making videos, but those were just drunk videos.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah.
What led to starting like the positivity? Like when did you start the Instagram?
Okay, so I started Your Anxiety's Lying to You about last December. Mm-hmm. So it's been a year.
That's it?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah.
So I had like, I call it my personal account now, but I started posting a lot of sober videos on there and they kind of banned me because I went too dark. It's a lot of dark humor.
Yeah.
And I had maybe like 50,000 followers. And so I started Your Anxiety Lying to You and I kind of stuck to more mental health and cut out the dark humor and it just kept on growing.
What was like the first video that really went viral for you?
First video was me making a joke about, I remember it was me making a joke about doing cocaine in the passenger seat.
What was it?
It was just me, like it was just like.
It would be just like a skit?
Yeah, it was just a skit. Like I was me, because I was paying houses. So so they were driving, I was in the back seat and I made the caption, when your homies look at you and turn the camera and you're doing a line in the back seat or something. And I was. It was just like something totally stupid, but it just got millions on my personal account. And I'm like, oh, dang. And I just started growing from there.
Wow. And you just kept doing videos. What type of feedback did you get like from the beginning of doing the videos?
People loved it. I mean, I try not to read too many of the comments. Mm-hmm. I know I was, and some of them would just get in your head, and I try to just look for the top comments, which are all positive. I don't go through and look for the negativity, because if you do, you're always going to get somebody being like, cry me a river. And I mean, I read my inbox messages still. And there's always people out there like, you're doing this for a look. And I'm like, okay, well, go on.
Yeah, it's crazy. I had this woman on the podcast. She had such an amazing story. And I felt so bad because she was like, I wish I never did the podcast. Look at all these comments. And it's like, man, like, I don't know. I guess like I'm numb to it. So like, I don't even look at them, to be honest with you. I don't think I've, I'll look at some of them when they're like really positive. Like I do care, but I guess like when I see a negative one, like I just scroll and just like keep on scrolling. I delete it. Like I just,
yeah.
Most of these people in person would probably say something really nice to me, you know? So like,
exactly.
So I know like a lot of them are like throwing rocks at airplanes. Like they just don't expect it to even register with people. And when she told me that, I felt so bad. And then I went to go look thinking there'd be like all these bad comments, like two negative comments, you know? But I mean, she just wasn't expecting, and it was like a super sensitive subject.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what she, I mean, there's always going to be a negative person. Mm-hmm. There's always so many negative people on the internet that are just going to try to bring you down with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to get used to it.
Yeah. And it's always from like some fake account or something.
Oh, yeah. They don't got a profile picture. Mm-hmm. And they got two followers. I'm like, okay, it's probably one of my exes.
Yeah. let's talk about early childhood. What was growing up like for you? Where are you from?
Okay, so I am from Citrus County, Florida, where the manatees are, the springs.
What does that mean? Like actual manatees?
Yeah, you've never seen a manatee?
I've seen a manatee. I just didn't know. To me, I'm thinking like you live in the country where like there's no water, but I guess there's water.
Oh, yeah, there's water.
There's a lot of manatees?
Yeah, there's a lot of springs, fresh water.
Okay. Fresh water, like hot springs?
Not hot springs, fresh water springs. Yeah, okay. Like probably like 70 degree water.
Okay.
I grew up out by the springs. Honestly, I don't really remember a lot of my childhood. I mean, my mom was there. My dad divorced her. They both got divorced. Went to a Christian school.
Mm-hmm.
Still got the same high school best friend. And then it's all kind of like a blur until I get into high school. I mean,
why?
I don't know. I mean, I had one traumatic event happen when I was probably like 10. And I watched my little brother get hit by a car, and like he just like flew like 10 feet, and then that like numbed me a lot. Like that like broke me because we thought they told us he was gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was in a coma for like 3 months, and he came out of it one day. So I mean, we put 50 Cent on his head because he liked rap music. Mm-hmm. And he came out to it listening to 50 Cent.
Like, how soon did you put it on? Like you put it on, he woke up?
Yeah, like, we put on in the club, and then he just started bobbing his head.
No way.
Yes, he started bobbing his head.
He was in a coma for 3 months, and then you hit the end of club?
We're like, put some music on his ear. Like, you know, because they can't do surgery because it's so deep in his brain, and his brain is so young. He was like, I don't know, 4.
Mm-hmm.
So he couldn't do, yeah. So he was like 4. Like,
wow. So he's really little. Oh my god.
Yeah, he was like 50. Yeah, he liked 50. Like he'd get in trouble in preschool for like,
wow,
for like screaming into club lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
But we put it on his head and he just started bobbing. I remember that. And then he opened his eyes.
Wow.
Like 50 Cent woke this man up from a coma.
That's crazy. Yo, that album was so hard. Just want to shout out 50 Cent. You saved this little boy's life.
For real.
Get rich or die trying.
You woke him up.
Wow. That's cool. I love 50 Cent. I was just telling you how his book is so good. His book, Hustle Hard, is incredible.
I'm going to have to check it out.
He's just awesome. Okay, so that was like your first traumatic. Yeah, because I imagine for 3 months you're thinking he's dead.
Yeah, so like I just started falling off in school. And, you know, like there's more important things. Like, I feel like I don't need to focus on school. Like, you know, I'm wondering if my brother's going to live.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I do remember little things other than that. I remember, you know, like my dad and my mom, and I'd go visit my dad every other weekend and stuff like that. But that was one of the most traumatic things that happened.
Mm-hmm. And then do you think that you had like a normal childhood up until that point, or was there like anything else going on? I'm just saying this because, like, you know, I've interviewed a lot of people, I've worked in rehab, but for somebody to say that my childhood was just a blur,
yeah,
like, you know, it's just you know,
I don't know if I close out a lot. I mean, I do close out a lot. I can't remember it. It's just like, you know, like my family has this they want to be the perfect family, but you know, my mom is always working. She still always works. I don't keep communication with her. Mm-hmm. So I had like a nanny raise me. My dad he in and out of the picture. Like I said, I only see him on the weekends. So, yeah, and it was always bickering. Your mom's the bad one. Your dad's the bad one. Mm. Blah, blah, blah. And I don't know who I want. I wanted to stay with my nanny the whole time because I thought she was my mom. Mm-hmm. So.
And then when do you start remembering, like, better?
Better, honestly, the car accident happened, and then high school. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just, you know, I guess I would have been older than 10. He's 21 now, and I'm 29, so 9 years. Mm-hmm. So for 14, so mm-hmm. you know, another 2 years, I started drinking. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and then that's when I started remembering some stuff I loved. And drinking, and that's what brought on my first addiction. So,
and like, what was it about drinking that like took a hold of you?
It, I don't know. I just, you know, it numbed everything. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I just love the feeling. Drinking. I mean, it wasn't crazy. I steal it out of my parents' liquor cabinet. Mm-hmm. And do it on the weekends with my buddies, but I was like, I love being drunk. Mm-hmm. I love it. Like I want to be drunk for the rest of my life. And so I started drinking, and then that led to me drinking, bringing liquor and to school and drinking liquor in a Christian school. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I know it's wrong, but I'm like, I don't care. And so 16, 17, 18, that's just leading up to drinking. And then I went to my first rehab at 18. My mom put me in a rehab because she was like, you got a problem.
And it was just drinking even at 18?
Yes.
Wow, super rare. Like most people like develop alcoholism like at least 27. So to be like hardcore drinking at 18 is pretty crazy.
It was hardcore drinking. So I went to my first rehab at 18. I did the outpatient. I convinced them to do outpatient because mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm going to continue drinking. Mm-hmm. So they were like, you completed the course the fastest out of anyone. I'm like, I know, I'm cured. I tricked them. And then, you know, I think I did stay sober maybe for a few months mm-hmm. after 18, after that rehab. But then that brought in college now. And college is just where it took off, like even hardcore. Mm-hmm. Like I started, I found a shop that would sell to me when I'm 18, 19. And I'm just like, I just started pounding drinks. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I love this feeling. I love to party. Like,
yeah. Are you socially drinking? Are you going out? You got a lot of friends, like paint the picture for me.
In the beginning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like in the beginning, going out, you know, every night, meeting new people. Had four roommates that loved to party at the time too. But even on like, you know, Tuesdays and Wednesdays when we knew they had class, I would start drinking and just start watching TV and not focusing on my classes.
So for you, was there like any time in your mind where you're like, damn, this could be a problem, or are you not even thinking that at that point?
I'm not thinking it at that point.
Mm-hmm. You're just having fun. And what college are you at?
So I'm at Santa Fe College in Gainesville, Florida. Okay.
Yeah.
So I was.
Was it different moving from where you're from to Santa Fe?
Oh, definitely.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. It's Party Central. It's mm-hmm. University of Florida.
Yeah.
So.
And then what was like your college experience like from there?
College experience was. I don't even know what I wanted to do. I know my mom wanted me to be a physical therapist mm-hmm. assistant. That's what every one of my friends are.
Really?
Like,
they've got a group of physical.
They're all PTAs mm-hmm. because my mom owns a physical therapy company, so they all work for her.
Gotcha.
And I was like, all right, I guess I'll be a PTA. And working, you know, from 16 to, I know I'm going to jump here for a lot, but mm-hmm. 16 to 25, I worked at her company and treating patients and. So, like, mm-hmm. it was an end for us. Like, yeah. we had a free job. But I just stopped. I would take the classes, but I didn't care if I failed or not, you know, mm-hmm. which I kept on failing.
Yeah. And then when did you start to realize that maybe you did have a problem?
That I did have a problem?
Yeah.
I knew I had a problem when I was downing a fifth of Jack Daniels a night. Mm-hmm. And having to go to different liquor stores every night to pick up a different bottle so they didn't think I was actually drinking mm-hmm. a fifth a night. And that's when I knew I had a problem, but I still could make it work somehow. I still could drink a fifth a night, fall asleep by 12, wake up by 8, and make it to my 9 to 5 in the nursing home. And, you know, and you don't see the change it's doing to your face. Like you mentioned before, mm-hmm. like you saw the transitioning of when I was drinking mm-hmm. to when I'm sober. You don't see it, your body changing. So I thought I looked fine, mm-hmm. but you know, you look terrible.
And what's going on in your life at the time with like friendships and like romance? Like, are you in a relationship? Are you taking dating seriously? You know, are your friends worried about you?
I did get in a serious relationship probably when I was like 23 or 24. Mm-hmm. And that lasted about a year. But she noticed that I also had a drinking problem. You know, I started adding up. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I can't do it. You know, you got a drinking problem, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, all right, well, I know better. And go out, mm-hmm. find someone else to drink with. Relationship ended. One of my best friends, I mean, my friends would try to talk to me. Like, Ryan, you need to tone it down. You need to tone it down. But you coming from an addict, coming from someone that's in addiction, you know us. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have a problem until we're ready to admit we have a problem. Mm-hmm.
And then what was that second rehab like?
So second rehab, I went in. So I think I went to that one around, like I said, 25, right? Mm-hmm. I went there because I got a DUI. The DUI story is pretty crazy. I hit a person.
Like walking? Or like another car?
I pulled out of a gas station. I was probably doing like 30 or 40. Mm-hmm. And I hit somebody on a bicycle. I bumped him. And I didn't know I hit a person because I was so drunk. So I kept on going. And then I got pulled over. They're like, you hit a person. I'm like, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. Blah, blah, blah. They're like, look at your truck. I'm like, oh, I hit a stop sign last week. That's not for me hitting a person. Mm-hmm. That's how far gone I was. So went to jail. Like, I didn't know if the person was okay. Long story short, there was no injuries. Mm-hmm. But they were like, you need to go to rehab. You need to get this checked out.
And when you wake up in jail, are you like still unsure? Like, what the hell's going on?
No, I'm pretty much sobered up. I'm like, okay. You fucked up. Mm-hmm. You screwed up.
And then they mandated you to go to, when did you find out that he was okay?
In rehab, I found out he was okay.
Damn, so that whole time you had no idea.
I did not know if I killed a person. And that's when, like, I really, of course, you know, you now have a problem because now you don't even know if you actually really hurt somebody, a family, mm-hmm. you know, like, I didn't know who it was. It was a woman. What really happened was, I guess I swerved around the first bicycle, mm-hmm. which was her boyfriend, swerved back in and popped her.
Was this at night?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But sitting in jail, I'm not made out for jail. I mean, and like, don't get me wrong, jails, I mean, there is good people in there. Everybody treated me very nicely.
This is in Gainesville or this is in Citrus County?
Citrus County. Mm-hmm. There are very friendly people in there. People mess up, but it's not for me. When you wake up in there and you're like, how long am I going to be here? And like, there's nothing to do. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to do. And I was only in there for 24 hours.
Yeah, I just did my first jail thing. Like, I went to jail for the first time probably like 4 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was also car related, but I didn't injure anybody. I was doing donuts in a parking lot. And
they took you to jail?
Yeah, it was crazy. I was doing donuts in a parking lot, doing like this Instagram video. And the photographer's like, yo, I know this spot. And I was like, okay, whatever. So we go to the port, and it's like a 5-story parking garage. And we go to the top floor. There's no one there, like in almost the whole parking lot. And I see on the floor that there's like skid marks. So I'm like, oh. And then I turn a little bit and it starts sliding.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, oh, it's like real easy to do donuts here. So I was like, let me take the traction control off. And I started doing donuts. And then we did like a little photo shoot. And then like we were about to leave. And like 6 cop cars pulled up. Oh, my gosh. And then I'm like, all right, like, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, you get a ticket.
And then, dude, I'm waiting there for like 3 hours. Like, we're going to review the security footage, da 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 da. Oh, and then like another cop comes. And he's like a super hard ass. And
oh, yeah, you get those.
He was just like, we're doing a criminal investigation. Da, 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 da. We're going to review the footage and, you know, sit tight. And I had already been waiting like 3 hours. And then the other cops are telling me I'm going to get a warning.
Yeah.
And then like another hour later, he tells me to stand up. He turns on his body cam and he starts reading me my Miranda rights. What? And that's when I was like, dude, am I really going to jail?
Oh, shoot.
And I wasn't like tripping because I was like, whatever. The cop was like, you'll be out in a couple hours. A couple hours is like 2 hours, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I slept there. I had 3 meals there. I was kind of...
They put you in a cell?
Yeah, in a cell. I slept there. And I remember they were like, you want to use the phone? Like after you get your mugshot taken, I was in an orange jumpsuit.
Yeah.
And I remember they're like, you want to use the phone? I was like, for what? They're like, oh, so your people could bond you out? And I'm like, I would imagine by now they're getting it situated. 4 hours go by. I'm like, let me get on the phone. I start calling everybody. I only know one number. So I'm like calling like my mom and then asking her to go through her phone to get this person's number. I'm like writing down the number. Then I'm just bored. Yeah. So I just start calling people and talking to them. But did you have the bologna sandwich?
They brought out a hot dog bun, with some like bologna or something. And then you got mustard.
Mm-hmm.
And mayonnaise. And
we didn't get no condiments.
Oh, you didn't get condiments. They brought out mustard and mayonnaise for us. Damn. And I'm like, I'm not eating this.
Yeah, so because I have a lot of friends and have people on the show who have been to prison and like understand how like they make food in prison, all fancy and stuff. And I used to always wonder, like, I just thought they did it just to do it. But now I'm like, oh, the food is so bland that they have to do that. Dude, I had this burrito in there and I was like, this shit is styrofoam. It's like the worst. You couldn't. Like, they should win an award. It was so bland. It's crazy.
It's terrible.
But,
when I went in there, like, it says, like, people are nice in there. Mm-hmm. It's, like, they're supposed to give you a water cup. Mm-hmm. They give you a water cup?
For what? Like, to drink water?
Yeah, like.
I think there was, like, a cooler or something. What was it? No, there's a water fountain.
Yeah, like a water fountain. And you're supposed to have a cup, maybe, or something. You can drink. The guards wouldn't give me a cup. So, one of the prisoners.
Inmates.
It was like, yo, you can have my cup. Just bring it back when you leave.
Oh, that's cool.
I have an extra one. I'm like, okay, cool. Appreciate you. And that's when I left, I said, make sure you give this back to him.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Yeah, I think I went to jail once, but I was like on Xanax, so I don't remember it. But that was like the first time I ever went to jail. I couldn't believe it. But I had fun in there.
I did.
I wanted to leave, though.
Yeah, well, you want to leave.
Okay, so hang on. So you go to jail. So when you go to rehab, what's your second rehab experience like?
So second rehab is full inpatient. So you're stuck in there. You're in my mind. I know you have a problem, but I don't know. But I stayed there for over 7 months. Like,
wow, yeah. Inpatient for 7 months?
Yes, I stayed in there. I completed the whole program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did everything. Did all the meetings. Did all the assignments. Did everything.
Now, did you think that you're going to drink again? Or are you like, I'm never drinking again? Or are you like...
I thought I could drink again.
Because
I was in rehab and I bought MGK tickets. And I was like, I get out, I'm pretty sure, in September. October is the MGK concert. I can have a drink at MGK.
Are you a big MGK fan?
Yeah, I like MGK.
Still now?
Yeah.
You like his new albums?
Yeah.
I think they're pretty good. It's crazy.
Yeah, I love them. I love them.
I was telling someone the other day, like, I can't believe he's like the only person who's gone from like rap successfully to rock.
Number one rap, number one rock.
It's crazy. Yeah. And I'm a big Blink-182 fan.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I cannot believe he has recreated this sound because it's like, it's so interesting. And as much as I like want to hate on him sometimes or whatever,
he's a talented dude.
Like, dude, he's so good though.
He's a talented dude, bro. Yeah. I mean, that's why I like him. He's a talented dude.
He really is. It's crazy. I'm like, I'm a big MGK fan.
Yeah. So yeah, talented dude. I bought those tickets. I'm like, I can drink there. And so I was like, all right, stay sober for another month. You got 8 months under your belt and have a drink now.
Wait, you planned it 8 months in advance?
No,
relapse?
So like I've been in rehab 7 months.
Okay.
Say, and I'm like, and then, you know, stay sober when you get out for another month. And then you could have a drink, you'll have 8 months.
Gotcha. So that's pretty far in advance to plan, like, oh, well, I'm going to just stay sober for another month and then I'll go to this concert.
This is how I'm thinking, yeah. Because I'm just revolving my life around what I want, which is alcohol. I finish rehab, stay sober. Really drunk at MGK, and my buddy's ready to leave, and I'm like, nah, leave me behind. I'm gonna find some places to go. I'm gonna keep on drinking. I end up in a cop car the next morning. I haven't told that many people that. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you have 30 minutes to get somebody here. You're going back to jail. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I'm on probation. I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm still on probation. I can't go to jail in Tampa. So I did get picked up. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, and then I was like, damn, you still have a problem. The first time you drank in 8 months and you got put in a cop car. Mm-hmm.
And then did you keep drinking after that?
Yep.
And what was the next couple months like?
You know, it just kept on going downhill. Just, I started living with the woman that raised me. I called her my mom. Mm-hmm. I would live with her. She let me live with her. And I would work these side jobs, and I would just start. I knew I couldn't like drink. I knew liquor what wasn't good for me, and liquor was mm-hmm. too expensive. So I started just drinking like 24 packs of beer every night. And that's just what my life revolved around, was drinking. Get up the next day. How are you going to drink the next day? Mm-hmm. Ride your bike to the store and get it. Work a job, do it, blah, blah, blah. And I want to mention that a lot of my drinking, I feel like, well, when you drink and then you stop drinking, you get anxiety, of course. Mm-hmm. But I've always been an anxious person. Like, and that's another thing I didn't mention in the beginning, was I've always been an anxious, tapping your fingers, just want to chill out. I wish I had a magic pill that could just chill you out. And alcohol did that for me. You know, it took away all your mental health anxieties, mm-hmm. Took my sadness, depression. It took away all that. So that's why I continued doing it. But then when you're sober, you're like 10 times worse.
Yeah.
When you're doing it. So.
Yeah, it's like filling up a bucket that just keeps making the bucket deeper. And it's just constantly trying to fill it up and trying to get to a baseline that is already far gone.
Exactly.
What other things were going on? Like, did you have severe depression at that point?
Yes. So, like I said, that was my life. Like, I'd stay up until 5 a.m. and then sleep till 4. And just, I'm like, what am I doing with my life? You're just, like, ruining your body. Like, at the time, my body's covered 99% in psoriasis. Mm-hmm. Like, I got, like, my skin is completely red. And
I saw that video. It's crazy.
Yeah. And, like, now I'm talking to my mom again. I'm like, yo, I need some medical attention. Help me. Mm-hmm. And blah, blah, blah. But so we were planning to go get, like, the you can do, like, an injection shot, mm-hmm. I think.
For what?
For the psoriasis? No. So if you drink alcohol, you get sick. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we were planning one day. I was like, all right, yeah, let's do it.
Oh, you're talking about the shot that prevents you from drinking, because if you drink, you get sick on it.
Right? Yeah, like, they'll put you in a hospital. So me and my mom agreed on that. I honestly didn't want it still. Mm-hmm. But I was like, all right, we can do it, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, we set up an appointment. And then the next, like, it was a Monday. It was and I was supposed to, you know, be ready at 7 a.m., 8 a.m., meet her. No one can find me. And I wake up in, like, 30-degree weather out here in Florida. You know, it gets cold. Mm-hmm. And I'm sleeping in a pig pen, drunk in a pig pen. And I'm like, what am I doing? And that's, like, I don't know what did it. But that's when I said, all right. Like, everybody thought I was dead. Mm-hmm. Like, no one could find me. I don't, like, where's Ryan? People were calling my best friends. People were calling my brothers. People were calling my parents. No one knew where I was. And I was just like, I've had enough, you know. Put me in a detox for a weekend. I'm going to stay sober. And I have.
Wow. That's incredible. When you were during that phase, did you ever feel about, like, reaching out to the rehab? Did you ever talk to that rehab? Did you ever, like, meet people there that you would get, like, help from?
I still talked to one or two buddies from the rehab, but mm-hmm. no. I wanted to hide everything. Mm-hmm. I felt like I don't want to be friends with any of them, mm-hmm. even my best friends.
Wow.
Because I knew, I started noticing, you know, the weight gain. I was, like, 240. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't want to see anybody. I was depressed at how I looked. I was you know, I was sad. I looked miserable. I looked like my body was just a whole virus. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't want to see anybody. I just want to die.
Hmm. When you got sober, what was it like for you? Like when you started to get urges, like what were some of the, like the, you know, things that you would do to try to surpass them?
So I started just working hella hours, mm-hmm. working, painting, working out. Actually, painting didn't come yet. I was working in a nursing home, and I was like, I want to do something I actually love. So I started painting houses, and I just started doing like 15, 16-hour shifts. Mm-hmm. It's like, you don't have time to drink. And that went on for a year. And then over a year and a half, probably, mm-hmm. a painting. And I mean, I know that's not the healthiest thing, mm-hmm. being a workaholic, but that's how I knew at the moment I could hold my urges, was just working, mm-hmm. working. And, you know, I'm a big guy in prayer. Prayer always has helped me. Mm-hmm. But the work, and then just knowing I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I can't do it. And then like a year and a half of being sober, I started making sobriety videos. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like I've always wanted to make videos. Mm-hmm. I always was making videos throughout this whole time. And I like we said, like a video took off one time, and mm-hmm. I'm like, damn. All right. Mm-hmm. And then it's led to this.
How many videos would you make like per week?
Oh, I'd make like three a day. I still make three a day.
You still do three a day?
Oh, dude, I have like thousands of videos ready to be posted.
What?
Yeah, like it's like unreleased music, but uh-huh. it's unreleased videos.
It's crazy.
That I'll probably never post. It's just
yeah,
like,
I keep seeing yeah, it's crazy.
It's just like I feel like I have to. I feel like mm-hmm. I have to wake up. I have to motivate somebody. I have to make somebody laugh. I mm-hmm. have to make somebody feel good, because if I don't, then I'm not going to feel good about myself if mm-hmm. I can't make someone else's day.
What, how do you like say like, I'm going to post this one, I'm going to save this one for later?
That's how I feel. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, am I feeling like a saddie today? Mm-hmm. Or am I feeling like a baddie? Like, do I want to make these? But like, I do have like a schedule. Like, uh-huh. like I'll post a funny one during the day and a motivational one at night.
Okay. Okay. So you do, that's your schedule?
Like pretty much.
Pretty much.
Like two funny ones and then maybe a sad one and a, uh-huh. like one. I don't know if you've seen the ones of me talking, mm-hmm. but yeah. you know, just being like, yo. Like, we all have a purpose. We do. Mm-hmm. We've all been through shit. We struggle.
Are you, do you go to church?
Not as much as I like, but I mm-hmm. try to.
That's cool. What has it been like meeting, like, other, have you met, like, other influencers through social media? Mm-hmm. How's that, like, experience been?
I don't recommend.
You don't recommend?
No, because... I've met a few influencers mm-hmm. and I've been used.
Wow.
And you know, I'm not gonna go into it. But,
yeah.
But like everybody's out to get something for mm-hmm. their own. And I'm just like, you know, that's why I stay to myself. I live mm-hmm. in my camper still. Mm-hmm. You know, I stay to myself with my dogs. Mm-hmm. You know. But there's genuine people out there too, mm-hmm. and that's what I look for in people. I've met some very genuine people, not influencers, but genuine people mm-hmm. In the community and family I've created that I talk to daily now.
That's cool.
For the past year, like I said, I live stream every night. So mm-hmm.
that's crazy. So you live stream every single night?
Yes, that's my job. So like mm-hmm. anywhere between 4, 6, 8 hours a night.
4, 6, 8 hours a night?
It might be four, it might be six. I've done 12 hours. I mean.
And what are you doing on there?
You're talking.
Wow.
TikTok's a wild place.
Wow.
You can meet a lot of people. You can have a lot of good conversations. Uh-huh. You could joke. You got to be entertaining. Uh-huh. You got to entertain people for 6 hours, 8 hours a day.
Have you thought about doing kick streams?
No. I've heard about Kick, but
yeah, it's like the next new like YouTube.
I need to get off TikTok because it's toxic.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I have friends who are like, man, I was up for 4 hours arguing with people on TikTok. I'm like, how do you like? like in the comments. I don't even know how to do that.
Yeah, like it's like a thing. Like people love talking shit on there, mm-hmm. and I'm not about that. I mean, I'll pretend talk shit to you mm-hmm. if I know you, but
yeah.
Some people are just like the internet's assholes. Mm-hmm. It's just like, grow up, man.
Yeah.
Be positive.
Yeah, I do say that there's always more positive comments than negative ones.
Yeah.
So like whenever I try to like tell myself, you know, or feel negative, I'm like, well, if I look at the comments, like it's always like I did this one podcast and my friend was like, dude, if you do this podcast, I'm telling you, bro, like don't look at the comments. It's going to be pretty bad. I'm like, I don't care. And I looked at the comments and I think like 98% of them were pretty positive.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes, you know, I surprise myself that, you know, there are a lot of good people out there too.
There is. And it's, and that's what I've learned. Like, the amount of messages I get, like, I reply to every message. Mm-hmm. I think that's another reason why I grew so fast on Instagram. I replied to every message until I hit 500,000.
Mm.
Every message that sent to me. I would voice record or I would text back.
Oh, that's cool.
And that would take 4 hours a day.
Hmm. And what was your motivation?
My motivation is just helping people. I was like, it was like looking at these pictures of how I looked before, how bad I was. If there was an account like this,
yeah,
that knew I was struggling this bad with my mental health, that made me want to drink this much. If somebody and they reply to me, they send me a video saying, yo, dude, it's going to be okay. We're all normal. Mm-hmm. We're all the same people. Yo, 50 Cent is the same person as us. He just makes hip music. I mean, we're all the same people. We all struggle with something.
Mm-hmm.
And just because I have a following doesn't mean I'm any different than you. But if you look up to me because of my positive words, I'm going to give it back to you if I can reply to you.
Yeah, it's funny. The other day, it was literally two nights ago, this guy messaged me and I realized that I messaged him a whole bunch of times. And he was like, I need help. I'm drinking nonstop. Da 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 da. Can you help me get to like, or how do I get into a meeting? He thought like a meeting was like, you need like a register or something.
Like a pass.
Yeah. And I was like, bro, they're all over the place. Where do you live? He's like, I'm in Broward. And I was like, come, like I was on my way to him. I'm like, dude, come right now. It's at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
And I went to the meeting and, I didn't know who he looked like or anything. I didn't even think he was going to come, you know?
Yeah.
And I was at the meeting and me and my friends were talking outside. And it's so funny, this girl was like, hey, that kid over there, it's his first meeting. Like, you know, like in the meetings, like men with men. So you guys should go talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked over, I'm like, hey, what's up, man? Brian, nice to meet you, whatever. And we talked for like, dude, like 30 minutes. And he told me that he had been listening to the podcast here and there. But there was this one podcast he listened to. That he was like, dude, it hit home for me. And
like, that's all it takes, dude. Yeah. And like what you're doing and like, you don't know who's going to watch that video, mm-hmm. That needs that part that like, that we all fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
We all screw up. And the reality is a lot of us nowadays are going to drugs or going to alcohol and it sucks, but there is a way out.
Mm-hmm.
Hell has an exit, yeah, like you said.
For sure.
But it's like you said, all it takes is that one video to save somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my motivation to keep me going. It's like, now I got to stay sober.
Mm-hmm.
And now I got to keep on being motivated. Yeah, I got to watch out for my mental health and stuff too. Mm-hmm. I got to take breaks. But, you know, you never know who you could save.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you even know them or not.
Yeah.
And the same goes for you, even with this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something cool because it's like archived on the internet forever. So it's like, it doesn't go away. It's like people can always find it. Where did you come up with your anxieties lying to you?
It just hit me one day. I think I was running it through with my buddy Ricky.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just trying to come up with names. And your anxiety is lying to you. And I started making t-shirts and mm-hmm. then, well, now t-shirts are everywhere. They're not mine.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, because I see that all the time.
I feel like I've heard your anxiety. I feel like I heard it in rehab mm-hmm. somewhere. Somebody told me your anxiety is lying to you. And it's so true, though, mm-hmm. because no matter how much you panic, no matter what, you've lived through it.
Mm-hmm.
It's your anxiety.
Yeah, I was reading this book and it was like, you know, like let's say the concert's about to start and you want it to start and you're like, it's a good feeling.
Yeah.
But it's like when you're sitting in a room and nothing's going on, it's like,
what's going on?
It's like, what are you, like, where does that anxiety come from? But like, why can you enjoy it here and like you hate it here?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, I get pretty anxious. And I think, like, I don't know if I'm getting older and it's getting worse, but like, man, there's times where like, I don't feel like, I don't, you know, like my anxiety is getting worse as I get older. I'm like, what is going on? You know, I thought like it'd be getting better, but there's times where like I feel anxious and like, I don't know why I feel anxious.
I'm the same
way. I'm just pacing around. Like, I don't know.
I mean, I get anxious. I mean, I've been anxious this whole time. Like, yeah. I'm shaking my leg. It's something new. I get anxious in new places. I mean, I'm not a social butterfly. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, I like living in my camper.
And yeah.
I like motivating people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll come meet you if I need to meet you.
Yeah. A lot of people I meet who are like real popular on the internet, like, man, they don't go out or whatever. Like, to them, like, the internet is where they, you know, have fun.
That's how I can reach people. I mean,
mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, I like going out with good old friends, but I hate grocery stores mm-hmm. and stuff.
Is it hard for you to like go to concerts and stuff and be places around where people drink?
So no, dude, like, I'm telling you, bro, like, from how much I struggled with alcohol and just when I woke up in that pig pen, it flipped in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
You can never drink again. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, doctors were telling you your liver was failing, like, your your body, like, it just something flipped.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've never had a craving. You want to know? I mean, I've had cravings. I never struggled with thinking about relapsing until this year.
Hmm.
And it's because of the internet. And it's because I'm not blaming the internet. It's because you put so much pressure on yourself. It's like, I have to make people happy.
Wow.
And like, when something goes wrong,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, it's like, you know, you could have done better. You're just like, I could use a drink, mm-hmm. but I'm not, but you know.
But that's been like your biggest stressor since getting sober.
Stressors, yeah. It's, you know, I need to learn, and I've told my friends this, and I've told family this, but I need to learn to give myself a break,
mm-hmm.
you know, which it's hard when, what I do, when you have to stream every night, when you have to make videos every day.
I was at Disney, and there was this guy on a bicycle in full outfit, like Disney costume, on a bicycle playing the piano while singing. I remember looking at him and being like, what, that motherfucker don't want to do that today? You know what I mean? like what if you just don't feel like doing that?
Exactly.
And the girl I was with, she does, you know, she's like pretty popular on the internet, and she's like, that's exactly how my job is. And I was just like, damn, that's crazy. Because sometimes it really is like that. It's like you gotta put on the show, you know, no matter what. And I think with you, though, is that if you're struggling, you can kind of voice that, and that's kind of like your platform, you know?
I agree. One thing is, that's why I do make so many videos a day. So if I do have an off day, I don't have to make a video.
That's cool.
But another thing is, which I've told my family that I stream for every night, I was like, I enjoy coming to y'all. Mm-hmm. I enjoy sitting in front of y'all for like 10 hours. I do not want this to feel like a job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but like if it starts to feeling like you have to wake up and you got to be like, oh, I got to stream today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm not going to be here.
Yeah.
I'll go back to painting houses. But like, you know, but like I actually enjoy just, you know, being able to talk with people. I look forward to my job.
Mm-hmm.
The videos is what stresses me out. But
yeah, making the videos.
Making the videos, coming up with ideas.
You edit them yourself?
Editing, following the guidelines. I mean, there's new guidelines everywhere. The guidelines everywhere.
Are crazy.
They've changed everything. Even in the past month, I've gotten in trouble. And that stresses me out. I'm like, God.
Have you ever you've had your account suspended before?
No.
Okay, that's pretty good. You're pretty good.
I got one warning, and then I got my second warning.
Some people have no idea how intricate the world of Instagram and like I was so surprised that your account is so new, because trying to go viral in the last like 3 years is so difficult to grow an account. Whereas like, you know, 7 years ago, you know, it was a lot easier. There's less competition. You know, the algorithm was different.
To do it now.
Now it's like, dude, you got people, their whole life is trying to get a bigger account and they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to try to do it.
To do it.
And it's like, man, like that's impressive.
And I have people message me all the time. And
how do you grow your account?
Exactly. Bro, like, send into my business email, can you give me some advice on growing your account? And I literally say the same thing every time. I was like, I'm blessed. Thank you, God. Mm-hmm. I felt like my story needed to be here or to be heard. And I don't fake nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Look, like I post videos of me freaking, I'll post a video of me in my camper every night. I'm not in this luxury house. I'm not, even if I could afford it, I'm not going to because.
Yeah, you're not collabing with Jack Doherty or something.
No,
yeah.
Like I'm not going to pay to go meet these big dudes because like, I always say the internet is fake.
Mm-hmm.
Not all these people are living the life that say they're living the life that are in Malibu and like they're struggling too.
Yeah, for sure.
They might be an alcoholic. They might be doing something else. They might have depression, but just because they look good on the internet doesn't mean they're perfect. None of us are.
They're human.
Yeah, we're all. Yeah, exactly. We're human. We all struggle with something.
For sure. Yeah, and it's like I follow this one girl and she like posts her whole life on social media and she has like a close friends page and her close friends page is so interesting because she'll post her depression, her anxiety, her issues with her family. She'll have like a 17 page thing, but the normal one is like her in a bikini on a beach or whatever. And I think she feels like her fans don't want to see that. But man, I read every single one of her close friends thing and I'm like, I want to know what's going on with her dad. And like, you know, like I'm interested in her relationship. And like, to me, it's like, damn, like I understand that separation is good, but I still think that her fans and people who really love her would like to see that, you know?
That's what people want real.
Yeah.
People want to see, I mean, and of course, some people aren't going to do it, like, you know, big top dogs. But, like, if you grew a family, people want to see, you know, what do you look like when you wake up?
Yeah.
Like, what medications do you take? Like, we're all normal. Like, you know, that's what people want to see. And I've at least what I feel like. Like, some people do want to see that fancy-ass car, all that stuff. But, you know, a lot of people just want to see basic. Yeah. Like, yo, that guy's normal, but he has a million followers. Yeah, I'm blessed, but I get to help y'all.
Yeah, like they want Adam Sandler. He just looks so normal, right?
Yeah, Adam Sandler dressed shopping at Walmart and stuff. I mean, like, yeah, bro, I shop at Walmart, dude. Like, let's go.
How many fans have you met?
Not a lot. I mean, I've had people like in the store come up to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, are you famous in your town now?
Like,
you gotta be.
People know me. People like, I'll go into like Publix and people be like, "Yo, it's TikTok, it's Instagram."
That's what they call you.
And then I went into Walmart the other day and I had this girl come up to me. She was probably 15. Are you Ryan? I'm like, yeah. She's from Instagram. I say, yeah. Can we take a picture? And her dad's looking at me like, I'm like, yeah, we can take a picture.
Yeah. He's probably like, what is going on?
Who is this dude? I'm like.
Dude, it's crazy. I was at Sephora at the mall and I was just like with this girl and she was like buying makeup. And there was like this girl. She must have been like, it's so hard with age now, 12, maybe 11. And she's over there with a camera and a light doing videos and dancing, and her friend got in the way and she was like, "You got in the way of my video." And I was just like, and dude, she was going on every different background, like, okay, today we're gonna do, and I was just like, wow, it's just crazy to see like young people doing stuff like that,
trying to pursue
hey, my name is like trying to be a personality. That's so weird. Like, hi, I'm so-and-so and today we're going to go to Sephora. And it was just like,
I hate it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, growing up, I always wanted to be viral. you know, I take pictures with the fancy boats and mm-hmm. take pictures with fancy cars. And, well, why doesn't it work?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you know, it's just like, talk about your life. Mm-hmm. You never know who you can help, you know? So.
Absolutely. What are some other things of like the dark side of like social media that have you know, want to take a break from it and stuff like that? Like, because people don't understand how stressful it can be.
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't have a manager or anything like that, right?
No. I do this thing where if I post on Instagram, I don't, and I continue with this, I don't open it until the next time I post. And so I don't get sucked into, you know, draining my mind. I post, I leave that app out. We're done with that for the day until the next 12 hours when I can post again. Because you get sucked in, like you start reading messages, like you said, like, another thing is I stop stressing myself about replying to people. I'm one person. I can't reply to hundreds of messages, you know, and that's just, you know, you need multiple assistants.
Yeah.
And
then people are like, hey, I love your content. You're the best. Da, da, da. The next day, oh, I see you're fake as fuck now, bitch.
Yeah. Like, you know? You can't reply to me. I'm like, you don't understand. Like,
yeah.
I reply to each and every one of y'all for 500,000. That took 5 hours of my day. Yeah. I can't do 15 hours a day replying. Mm-hmm. You know, and like I keep on saying I'm blessed, and I am blessed, but you know, you got to take care of yourself first. Mm-hmm. Another with some other dark sides. It's just like meeting toxic people while streaming, you know? You just got, there's a lot of toxic people out there
mm-hmm.
that just want to suck the energy out of you.
Like what you're streaming and they're just saying like ridiculous shit in the comments.
Yeah. Or you just like, you know, like ridiculous stuff, like people you stream with that talk shit to you. Like,
oh, really?
Oh, dude, TikTok's full of it. I don't know why people watch it. Mm-hmm. You'll go live with somebody and they'll be like, oh, look at this punk ass. Let's go. I'm like, what? Like, what the fuck? It's like, nice to meet you too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no. You.
Oh, I didn't even know you could do that on TikTok. So on TikTok, you could go live with somebody so you're both on the screen and then people can watch?
Yeah, so that's what I do all night. I meet people.
On TikTok?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I mean I have a good friend group now mm-hmm. that I usually do nightly. Wow. But like you could I met some cool people on there. I've got to meet Adam Calhoun. I've got mm-hmm. to meet Sean Gatz. Do you know him?
No.
Tattoos on his face. I mean you get to meet a lot of people.
Like, yeah.
A lot of people are just in there and just like, yo, look at this little bitch. Let's show them how rich we are on our side. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's about. Like, whose side is going to throw more money
mm-hmm.
so you win? And I'm just like, y'all toxic. I can't be that's here. So crazy. I can't be here the rest of the year.
Wow. Interesting.
I got to find a new app.
You should really start a Kick app. And whenever you go live or on any of your other social medias, you should just get like another phone or get someone else to record and just record it because – I mean, people are making good money on there.
Kick,
and
okay.
It's like you already have such a big platform, and I definitely see it being like the future.
Okay, I'll definitely check it out. Yeah. Kick like a
K-I-C-K.
Kind of like, wasn't there a Kick Act in the past?
Yeah, wasn't there? Yeah, is it the same people?
It was like it's instant different. Message, and it
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah. It was like a WhatsApp.
Yeah.
It was a Kick. It is the same people.
It was the same people. I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that. That's interesting.
Shout out the oldies.
Shout out. What happened to that? That was like pretty popping for a while. Yeah, social media is crazy how much it's changing. And like Twitter, like I didn't get into Twitter until like 3 years ago. Like Twitter is so crazy. You don't do Twitter at all.
I hate it. I don't. I could never understand Twitter.
Yeah, that's what I thought for a long time. And then I got into it.
And you got in. They sucked you in.
And then I'm like, oh, dude, Twitter is where it's at.
I couldn't do Twitter. I got into Threads for like a week.
Oh, dude. I think everyone did.
Yeah, for like a week.
I remember thinking like, I'm going to be the first person on Threads, going to kill it. And then I'm just like, no, I don't. I still wonder if it's going to take off because they still keep promoting it. But I don't know if anyone uses it.
It's not even Twitter anymore. It's X.
Yeah, X. Yeah, I got to. It's interesting. There's kids that are going to be born that don't even know what Twitter is.
Dude, the world is changing.
Mm-hmm. How old are you now?
29.
29? Okay.
Yeah.
What are your plans for the future?
My plans for the future, I just look, my goal is, you know, for more opportunities to come my way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what I look forward to. That's what I pray about. I just look forward to an opportunity that I can do whatever that is, clothing, motivational speaking to people, whatever it is. But I'm just waiting on the right time, you know. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what that sign is going to be, but I know it'll come. So, you know, I'm always going to be there motivating people, I feel like,
mm-hmm.
for years to come. I love doing that. But
yeah, like when I watch your content, it's like so genuine that I feel like if there was like one follower, you'd still be doing this.
Yeah, no, yeah. Exactly. It's and that's another thing for the people that are watching this. If you help one person by telling your story,
mm-hmm.
like it doesn't matter about the likes. I got made fun of. My account didn't take off until I was 28. I'm 29. I got made fun of by, like, you know, people in high school that were in my high school, mm-hmm. my family, some friends. You're 28, Ryan. Stop making videos about about drinking, or stop making videos about having anxiety. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
okay. Well.
Now they're like, can you shout me out? No.
No.
We ain't shouting you out today, okay?
I made a new Facebook. I made a new Facebook, mm-hmm. and the amount of requests that come in from old people, mm-hmm. and I'm like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's fake.
Yep.
So.
Now I'm hot. Y'all's want me.
I don't even care. Like, look, I'm the same person. I just don't watch y'all's drama in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because, like, I used to do meme accounts. So okay. I used to have, like, a big meme account. Dude, I spent hours and hours thinking of memes and photoshopping memes. This was probably, like, 2016. And, you know, the Fat Jewish?
Yeah.
There was times where he had stolen memes of mine. And he's, like, one of the biggest comedy pages of the time.
So they're not gonna give you credit.
Yeah, you know, and I would DM him and like, you're a thief, da da da. I would comment and he'd like block me. And there was a couple other big pages that would steal like little things of mine. And I was stealing the stuff too. You know?
That's how memes work. You know? I mean,
and I remember at the time I was just like so sucked into it. And big pages were shouting me out. And I was like, dude, I'd be in my room by myself screaming. And my roommate would be like, dude, what are you doing?
You're growing, bro.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, I just got shouted out by this page, da, da, da. And then, you know, when I started my career, I was like, I'm going to delete my Instagram. And my roommate was like, you would never delete your Instagram in a million years. I'm like, dude, watch. And I permanently deleted it. And I got like a real normal Instagram page. And I was like, I'm going to leave all that kid stuff behind. There are pages that were smaller than me at the time. That I know the people who run them, and they like sold them for like millions of dollars.
Oh my God.
And I was like, damn, bro.
Damn.
But it's like at the time, I don't think it's like a serious thing. Like Instagram's ever going to be like, remember people used to always say like having a million followers ain't the same as having $1 million.
Oh,
but like now it's kind of like, well, damn, bro, if you got a million followers, you could probably make $1 million, you know? But for a long time it was like Instagram followers don't pay your rent or something like that. But like now it kind of does.
I mean, Instagram needs to pay me.
You got to start selling merch, dude.
I know.
You got to sell merch because what my friend used to do is that he would have a whole bunch of memes and then he would sell like some stupid dog collar that glows in the dark.
Yeah.
And he would have some little freaking video about it that was clearly something an ad, simple. But it was something that his followers were like young kids that like memes, you know?
Yeah.
So he would have something like that. And dude, he would sell little bracelets, dog collars, stupid t-shirts, funny socks, you know? And dude, he was making millions a year.
I just got to do it. But I did release a journal. So that's cool. That's cool.
You can still buy it now?
Yep, you can buy it now. It is in my bio on Instagram, mm-hmm. TikTok, Facebook. It's everywhere, but that's like that's like a mental health daily log.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like how many hours you sleep, how do you feel when you wake up, you know, you take meds, did mm-hmm. you take your meds, blah, blah, blah.
Nice.
You know, tell me about yourself. Just journaling, because journaling has helped me a lot too. Like I never realized how much just writing out your feelings help. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you journal.
Yeah, I've kept a diary. I thought you were saying it's because you know. I've kept a diary for 16 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you know.
I have a safe filled with composition books like this big. And now I'm like just doing Word documents. I probably have 6 different Word documents that are so I've filled up so much that when you open it, it doesn't open because it takes too long to like load.
Takes too long to load.
Yeah. So it's like.
Yeah, it's a good.
But I want to make a diary app because like.
Apps are where it's at too.
Because of like I want to put pictures in it so I could be like today I went to da 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 da. But I don't necessarily want it to be like public. So like I want an app makes where sense. I could like write my diary and then like lock them and then like
you lock it,
you know, so lock like it's like safe in. And then like I could just log in and it's always there,
yeah.
You know, but it's like, I mean, I've been doing a Word document for forever now, but I've never really found like a good diary app. I've looked, there's got to be some, but I haven't found any cool ones.
I saw one.
Hey, you got an app?
Oh,
your
no.
diary's not an app.
No, I don't got the app.
But it's your diary. Because you know what I bought? I bought a diary, like a thing, and it like it comes with a key and it locks.
Oh, for real?
I just never used it. But I mean, you could obviously get into it. But I remember I was like on this like important business trip and someone was like, what's that?
It's private.
Exactly. I was like, nobody finna know what's in here.
Put a whole chastity belt on that diary.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then there was one with a combo. I got like 3 of them. I'll give you one. I got one on my show.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, but writing has, it's crazy because there's times where I'd be so mad. And then after I like write, I'm like, not.
You write your anger.
Yeah, it gets out.
Fuck you. Yeah. Burn it.
Or I figure it out while writing. So I'll be like confused about something. And then when I write it out, I'll be like, damn, that bitch really did do me like that. You know, like. Yeah, when you write it out, you get clarity.
You get clarity. You can read it out. Mm-hmm. And even like with my videos, that's what I do. I write out everything I'm going to, like when I do like a motivational talk, I write it out and I'm just like.
You know, you write it before you do it?
I do. And I don't read it word for word. I don't memorize it. But like I write it out and I'm like, that's what you're going to say. And then, you know, I might take 2 or 3 times to record.
Gotcha. So you get it. Yeah. Cause I was wondering that. That's interesting. That makes it probably a lot easier than just going without like a directional timeline.
Exactly. No. Yeah. So like every night before I go to bed, I have a schedule for everything. I stream, mm-hmm. then, you know, upload a meme because people love memes. Mm-hmm. And then I'll write out a script for the next day to talk about.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Okay. One last question. Where does Primer come from?
It's my last name.
Okay.
Ryan Primer.
I was like, because when I saw Ryan and Primer, I was like, what is that? That's just your last name.
Ryan Primer, yep.
Okay. And then when did Daddy Primer come?
Oh, I just update, because I updated my phone and it said, update your contact name. So I was like, all right.
And then everybody got it?
I didn't know that. So I put Daddy Primer and then everybody that has my number, thinks I'm called Daddy Primer now. It's, you know, whatever.
That's pretty interesting.
I need to change that.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's funny because when I get people, I get like a suggestion to change it. That's what it is. I'm
sorry.
It's all good. It's all
you
good.
Don't got to change me to Daddy.
We could do Daddy Primer. Hey, well, I appreciate you coming to the show, man.
Thank you so much.
I know it's hard for you to get out and meet new people, and I know you took a chance on coming on the podcast. And man, it was just a pleasure to get to know you and let people know where they could find you and, you know, your platforms.
Yep. Thank you for having me. My Instagram is Your Anxiety Is Lying To You. TikTok is Your Anxiety Is Lying To You. And YouTube is Your Anxiety Is Lying To You. Number 2, YEW.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate you.